So good evening again. Just it is such a privilege to preach the word of God.
Amen.
So we are going to talk about the book of Numbers, chapter 2, this evening. So let's ask the Lord for help. Father, we thank you this evening. We thank you for the gift of Jesus Christ. We thank you for the Bible. So, Father, we pray that through your Holy Spirit, you will open your word to our hearts and open our hearts to your word so that your purposes will be accomplished in each of our lives. So, Father, we pray that you will be our speaker, our teacher tonight. And the Father, as we commit ourselves and into your hands, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
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 So, the book of Numbers is the fourth grand division of the Pentateuch, or five books of Moses. So, what is the book of Numbers all about? So, I must confess that I have not studied the book of Numbers enough as I should to understand what the book of Numbers is all about. But is a good word. But I looked at the Macintosh's notes on the Pentateuch. So I'm going to share my screen to you. Let's see what he says. I think I got it here. So this is Macintosh's notes on the Pentateuch by Charles Henry Macintosh. So he said in the book of Genesis, after the record of creation, the deluge, and that's a flood, and the Babel dispensation, we have God's election of the seed of Abraham. In the book of Exodus, we have redemption. Leviticus gives us priestly worship and communion. In Numbers, now we come to Numbers. In Numbers, we have the walk and the warfare of the wilderness. Such are the prominent subjects of this most precious section of inspiration. While, as might be expected, many other points of deep interest are collaterally introduced. It's very interesting. Eh? But then, I think I look at John Nielsen Darby's. He's I think this John Nielsen Darby, he said this is Darby's synopsis of the book of Bible. So what, by the way, what is a synopsis? So for the years the students think, what does the synopsis mean? So I just said, a synopsis is a brief summary of the major points of a subject or written work or story or outline. So this is the outline. So let's look at what he says in this. So John Nielsen Darby, he said that in Numbers, we have the surface and the walk of the people. Figuratively of the sense through this word,
Amen.
And consequently, that which relates to the leewards and the journey through the wilderness, now as the Leviticus end with the regulations and the warnings respecting the position of the land, and that with regard to the rights of God, and consequently to the rights of his people. So the book of Numbers brings us through the wilderness to the moment before the entrance of the people into the land at the end of the wilderness journey, and speaks of that grace which justifies the people at the close, notwithstanding all their unfaithfulness. So I think we got some idea for the numbers now. So let's also check with Bill McDonald's commentary. So Bill McDonald says in his commentary, the English name of the fourth book of Moses is a translation of the Septuagint's title, Arathon Moai. I think it's difficult for me. Don't laugh at me because I'm a ESL student. So I just check for the Septuagint referred to as the Greek Old Testament or the translation of the 70 and often abbreviated as LXX, the Roman numerals for 70, is the earliest extended Greek translation of the Hebrew Bible from the original Hebrew. The Hebrew Bible were translated into the Greek language by 72 Hebrew translators, six from each of the 12 tribes of Israel. So we know this as a translation of Septuagint's title, Arathon Moai. So this is, and obviously is so called because of the census in chapter 1 and again in chapter 26, as well as the many other numerical data given throughout. The Hebrew title is much more descriptive of the book as a whole in the wilderness. So the narrow of 40 years in the wilderness is full of interesting and well-known stories. It's like the spies visiting Canaan, Korah's rebelling, Aaron's rod that budded, the brass serpent, Balaam and his donkey, and other lesser known events. It should not be thought that this is merely Hebrew history. All of these things happened for our spiritual edification. We are to learn from the mistakes of the children of Israel, not repeat them. Consequently, Numbers is a very important book. So Numbers is a very important book. So let's turn with me to Numbers chapter 2. Numbers chapter 2, if you have a Bible. If you don't have a Bible, I will read it to you. Our policy is if you come five times, we will give, I'm very happy to give you a Bible for free. So, Numbers chapter 2. So, you may turn to there, I will read it to you. Numbers chapter 2. So this chapter talk about the order of the camps or arrangement of the camps. Chapter 2 is going to take the information in chapter 1 and they render it into an order of march for war and also lay out the camp. So Numbers chapter 2 verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron. So I will read in the authorized version. And saying, every man of the children of Israel shall pitch by his own standard with the ensign of their father's house far off about the tabernacle of the congregation should they pitch. So every one of the 12 tribes had an ensign, a banner, a symbol. And the point here is each of the 12 tribes has a celestial ensign. And the four of those are going to be very prominent for us here shortly. So verse 3, and on the east side towards the rising of the sun shall they of the standard of the camp of Judah pitch. So don't confuse with the tribe of Judah with the camps of Judah. The camp of Judah is a grouping of three tribes, as you will see in a minute. So let's go back to the verse. Three of the standard of the camp of Judah pitches throughout their arms. And the Nashon, the son of Amminadab, should be the captain of the children of Judah, and then his host, and those that were numbered of them were 64,600. And that those that do pitch next into him should be the tribe of Issachar, and Nathaniel, the son of the Zura, should be the captain of the children of Issachar, and his host, and those that were numbered thereof were 50,400. So you are probably wondering why I'm going verse by verse. So why we don't just summarize it? So that is a dangerous thing to do if you are serious about the Bible, because too often you will miss an insight. And so rather than err that way, we'll go through verse by verse. Then give us appropriate summaries. So let's down to verse 7. Then the tribe of Zebulun and Eliab, the son of Helon, shall be the captain of the children of Zebulun and his host. And those that were numbered thereof were 57,400. Verse 9, all that were numbered in the camp of Judah were 100,000 and 64,600 throughout the armies. This shall first set forth. So I'm going to share my screen to you again. Can you see there? Yeah. So all this, I think they were numbered in camp of Judah. Those are three tribes of Judah mentioned. This is tribe of Judah, tribe of Issachar, and the Zebulun. This is the numbers. This is in verse 3 and 4, verse 5 and 6. There were seven and there. So the total number was 186,400. So this is the inverse verse 9 here. So this, they show the first set force. So this is a group which is the largest of bunch. By the way, is the first one in the order of march. So if they are marching, these are the ones that go first. And that this, we just mentioned that this is three tribes there. So this is three tribes, Judah, Issachar, Zebulun, that together make up the camp of Judah. So you miss this if you just skim through these chapters and numbers. You see, it is tempted just to zip through it and go down. So you miss some things that I'm going to try to highlight as we go here. So let's go to verse 10. Numbers chapter 2, verse 10. On the south side, no, we are gone. On the east side, we are moving out of the south side. So on the south side should be the standard of the camp of Reuben. According to the armies, and the captain of the children of Reuben should be the Elizur, the son of Shedeur, and his host, and those that were numbered, therefore, were 40,600, 6,500. Verse 12, and those which pitched by him should be the tribe of Simeon, and the captain of the children of the Simeon should be Shalumiel, the son of the Zuri Shadidai, and his host. And those that were numbered of them were 59,300. Verse 14. Then the tribe of Gad and the captain of the sons of Gad should be the Eliashiba, the son of Reuel, and his host. And those that were numbered of them were 40,500 and 650. All that were numbered in the camp of Reuben were 100,050 and 1,450. Throughout the armies, and they shall set forth in the second rank. So I'm going to share my screen again. So tonight I'm going to share lots of screen. So this is the camp of Reuben. We can see there. So they are on the south side of the camp. You know, this is the south side. So this southeast. So they are on the south side. They are second in line of march to Reuben, Simeon, and Gad. So let's go to verse 17. Then the tabernacle of the congregation should be set forward. Now, this is not as a war, this is just on the march. Obviously, the tabernacle is going to be somewhere. The Levites would not be go to war, but if they are on the march, going from one place to another place, from A to B, obviously the tabernacle is moving with them. So this is where they would sit. So verse 17, then the tabernacle of congregation should set forth with the camp of the Levites in the midst of the camp. As they encamp, so should they set forth every man in his place by the standard. So let's look at this. You know, this is a, we have the tabernacle. This is the tabernacle in the center. So tabernacle in the center, we have Moses here, and Aaron and the sons, the priests. So we have three Levites families. So this is the Kohen size, Gershonites, Merarites. So this is three families, they all are Levi. So always need to be a priest. You have to be a descendant of Aaron. So if you are a priest, you're certainly a Levi. But just because you are a Levi, you're not a priest. Because you could be a Levi that's not a descendant of Aaron directly, and that would put you in one of three families there, we just mentioned here. So let's go back to verse 18. So on the west side should be the standard of the camp of Ephraim, according to the armies, and the captain of the sons of Ephraim should be Elishama, the son of Amihud, and his host, and those that were numbered of them were 40,500. And by him should be the tribe of Manasseh, and the captain of the children of Manasseh should be the Gamaliel, and the son of Pedazur, and his host, and those that were numbered of them were 30,200. Verse 22, then the tribe of Benjamin, and that the captain of the sons of Benjamin should be Abedan, the sons of the Gideonite, and his host, and those that were numbered of them were 5,400. All that were numbered of the camp of Ephraim were 100,000 and 8,000 and 100. Throughout the armies, and they should go forward in the third rank. So I'm going to share my screen again. We just had so this is on the west. On the west, we have the Ephraim, the camp of Ephraim, not the tribe of Ephraim only. So we have the numbers, we have the total numbers. So they're on the west side. So so we only have one more line in there. Verse 25. Let's go to verse 25. The standard of the camp of Dan should be on the lower side by the armies, and the captain of the children of Dan should be the Ahiezer, the son of Amishur Adai, and this and his host, and those that were numbered of them were 70,700. Verse 27, and those that encamped by him should be the tribe of Asher, and the captain of the children of the Asher should be Pagiel, and the son of Ocharim. Verse 28, and his host, and those that were numbered of them were 40,500. Then the tribe of Naphtali, and the captain of the children of Naphtali should be Ahira, the son of the Enan, and his host, and those that were numbered of them were 50,400. All they that were numbered in the camp of them were 100,050 and 7,600. They should go. They should go hindmost with the standards. So, let's look at the screen. This is the camp of Dan. They are on the north side. So you got four camps right here. Three tribe each of their numbers, and that the Levites and the tabernacle right in the middle. So now we have, so you see, Roy, we got all these numbers. What's that goal got to do with anything? But now you are drawing in numbers. What do we do with those? We'll look at something here shortly. So let's go to verse 32. These are those which were numbered of the children of Israel by the house of their fathers, all those that were numbered of the camps throughout the host were 600,350. Verse 33. But the Levites were not numbered among the children of Israel, as the Lord commanded Moses, and that the children of Israel did according to all the Lord commanded Moses. So they pitched by their standards, and so they set forward everyone after their families according to the house of their father. So I'm going to share screen again. So this, so we have the camp of Judah, which is Judah, Issachar, Zebulun. So they're on east side. So this southeast, this northeast. So next, we have the camp of Reuben, in south side. The south side, the Reuben, the tribe of Reuben, Simeon, and Gad. So we have that Levites. Right in the middle with the tabernacle. And their numbers you don't know yet, because that's coming in the next chapter, Numbers chapter 3. So this one, the west, we have the camp of Ephraim. So this is their numbers. And the total here. So this southwest, northwest. So the Dan, this is a, we have this, the camp of Dan, the camp in north. So they are the tribe of Dan, Asher, and Naphtali. So you have this numbers, are those number meaningful? I think they are. If you put them in the right groupings. So I suggest that every detail in the scripture is there by design.
Amen.
And that design always, always points to Jesus Christ. So the question we are going to address is what could be hidden behind these numerical details of the camp of Israel? So turn with me to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 7. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 7. So for the context, let's start with verse 5. So Hebrews chapter 10, verse 5. When he, that is the Lord Jesus, comes into the world, he says, let's move to verse 7. He says, in the volume of the book, it is written of me. That's the Lord Jesus. So the Lord Jesus quoted it from Psalm 40, verse 7. So the Lord Jesus himself said, in the volume of the book is written of me, as the Lord Jesus. So I'm going to share my screen again. So, so here are those four camps. You got those four camps. There's the camps of Judah, Reuben, Ephraim, and the camp of Dan. So we got the population of each of four camps. We're not sure out yet. And what do you say, Roy? What do I do with that? Well, let's back up here. The tabernacle is in the middle of the camp. Around the tabernacle, you have these three families. And Moses and the priest, which are the core group here. This is Moses and the priest and the Aaron. So on the east side, of course, the key side, is the east side. On the east side, now, I have no idea how much space it took to camp. We learned that there's about 22,000, we're talking about the Levi, 22,000 Levites in there in Numbers chapter 3. So now if you take that number plus the wives and the families and whatever, that you have two or three times that whatever that number of people is. Not a small place, right? But that is the camp of the Levites. And they are the reference point for the rest of the camp. So the camp of Judah was instructed at the camp east of Levi. So you tracked the camp, the Levi. We think this is a maybe this is a Levi's camp. So they are instructed to camp at the east of Levi's. So that sounds simple, but it is not. The camp of Reuben was instructed to camp on the south, this is south of Levi's, So, if you're going to be strictly obedient to the instruction of Numbers 2, that denies you the opportunity to camp southeast of the Levi. Right? Because if you are southeast, you are not on east or south. You are in between. And only the cardinal directions are ordained for the camping. So they cannot camp here. They can only camp in the east side, just like the camp of Judah. So you have to figure out how wide the Levites are camping and stay with the ranch. So if you are going to stay east of the Levites, then you take proportional to whatever you need to population. So here's are the Levites, the camp of Judah on the east side. So the symbol is nine, incidentally. The nine of tribe of Judah. And so they can camp as wide as the Levi camp here. Have they stake out for themselves? As long as whatever this is, they can, as long as they east of that, they are obedient. The same, likewise, Reuben. His symbol was the man, incidentally. So there again, they can camp as wide as the Levites had staked out, no wider, and they take whatever depths they need for their people. If somebody try to camp between these two, he's neither east, south, or this is neither east or south, right? This is east, south, east side. It's neither east or south. That's forbidden. So likewise, we have these four zones. Just like southeast, southwest, northwest, northeast, that would be in effect prohibited. So Ephraim is on the west side. See? His symbol was the ox. And then we have on the north side the tribe of Dan, which ultimately become the eagle. The eagle was the symbol of the tribe of Dan. So we have the four camps of Israel. Now we add to this the fact that we know what the populations are. We don't know the absolute populations, but we have relative figures. In other words, whatever the number going to war. So I think it would be reasonably statistically indicative of what the total population is. We have about 186,400 for the tribe of Judah, in the tribe of Judah, and 151, about 151,450 on the tribe of Reuben. So we have about 108,100 in the tribe of Ephraim, and about 157,600 in the camp of Dan. So what we are going to do right now is we are going to embark on a helicopter. And then as we fly over to Israel, we are going to approach the camp of Israel from east side. And so we approach the camps of Israel. We will see, of course, right in the middle is the tabernacle and the Levites. This is basically a sketch of the camp of Israel made to scale. So I will use the tribe of the area of the Levites as my unit. And whatever that is the length, the proportions of the arms will be proportional to the populations. So we have the largest one. This is the camp of Judah. They have 186,400 union. The shortest one to the west. This is the camp, the camp of Ephraim. So they have 108,100. So this the tribe, the camp of Reuben and the camp of Dan, they are populations pretty much the same. So this is the population. So what did you see here? I think that's a kind of interesting. You see, if you pay attention, you know, I have a more. So if I take a number off, you see this. So you cannot escape it, can you? So this is a cross.
Amen.
So but I think there's something else, by the way, I have not highlighted here. The four labels on those four camps are ox, man, eagle, and the lion, which are the same face that you see on the cherubim around the throne of God. So whether you are in Isaiah chapter 6, Ezekiel chapter 1, or Ezekiel chapter 10, or in Revelation chapter 4 and 5. So the cherubim or the seraphims, call them what you like. Those same four letters, so the four faces prefigure the four aspects in which God would reveal himself when he incarnated himself in a human flesh as the Messiah. And it is interesting that those same four symbols typified the four Gospels. So Matthew presented Jesus Christ as a lion, the king. Mark presented him as the ox, the servant. Luke presented him as the man, his perfect humanity, the Son of Man. So John presented him as the eagle, soaring overhead, symbols of his deity, the Son of God, as to whom he really is. So those are common labels for those four Gospels. I think there's something far more fundamental going on here. So when God looks down on the camp, he sees the tabernacle right in the center, and he sees a presentation of his plan of redemption before our eyes. So the last verse. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. Hebrews 12, chapter 2. Authorized version. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So the day is fast approaching when the trumpet will sound, and the Lord Jesus will come in the clouds to take us to be with himself forever. But until that day, let us keep on looking up on our Lord Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated today at the right hand, at the right hand of the throne of God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you this evening. We thank you for the gift of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father, for your grace and mercy in sending the Lord Jesus Christ, who loves me and died for me, and is the author and the finisher of our faith. Help us to take our eyes off the sins that detract from him. And may we keep the focus of our gaze ever looking to him. Thank you for his life example and his patient endurance in the face of the cross, and make us more like him day by day. Father, the hymn writer says, at the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight. And
Amen.
Now I'm happy all the day. Father, separate us with your blessings. Take each of us home safely as we give thanks and pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
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 Thank you, brother. I didn't know how you were going to pull that together, but you sure did. Thank you.
Praise the Lord, all of you.
Thank you, Paul.